Welcome to Ladies Who Launch, not your average business podcast. Dropping every other Wednesday, Alyssa and Dakota are two successful and opinionated marketing entrepreneurs engaging in insightful conversations with industry thought leaders, as well as casual conversations surrounding our lives as entrepreneurs. Welcome back to another episode of Ladies Who Launch. Alyssa and Dakota are coming to you from a very snowy Calgary, Alberta today. We've had another, 30 centimeters?
Yeah.
It's shoveled like 17 times.
It's been a week, people. I didn't leave the house yesterday, so I don't even know what it's like. I have to leave today for an eye appointment, and probably trying to shovel out my driveway is going to be interesting, but
it will be a little bit, but it's really fluffy and like calming.
Yeah. Nice. Well, and it's not freezing, so it won't stay very long. It'll just be like wet and slushy, which is fine. Look at us talking about the weather as though we're like 100 years old.
I mean, it's not one of those awkward situations where you just talk about the weather because it's surface level. It's just like a genuine topic of conversation in Calgary because the weather's so effing temperamental. But anyways, so today we are going to talk a little bit about influencer culture, and we're going to kick it off with some news that Alyssa is actually going to educate me on that I haven't really been following along with the news too much lately. So apparently something really interesting happened that influenced our thought to have this conversation. So I'm going to let Alyssa kick it off with some news about a guru that apparently is full of shit.
Yeah. Well, not surprising, I think. And we'll get into why that's not surprising. But so we're recording this on March 21st. And just at the end of February 29th, March 1st, somewhere in there, big media storm has been revealed that Jay Shetty, who is a very famous podcaster, lifestyle guru, whatever, pretty much made up his entire background. It's all fake. So including the years that he spent as a monk in India. And I always had a bit of a side eye with Jay Shetty. I just never quite could figure out what was going on there. But I side eye a lot of these like wellness lifestyle people because I think they're all full of shit. And this just sort of like gives me the impetus to say that like, yeah, I mean, no one was asking for Jay Shetty's credentials in any of this stuff. He just sort of appeared and he's a very good looking man. And he had this great background and he's like, oh my God, he was like a monk in India. And no one took any time to actually figure out I don't even know if Jay Shetty's his real name. I haven't looked that far into it. But yeah, when this story all broke a few weeks ago, and everyone's like, oh my God, not Jay Shetty. Like, what is going on? I was like, this is the entire wellness sector and why it is so massively like billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of influence, because people buy into this stuff so easily because they so desperately want an easy answer and they so desperately want someone to tell them that it'll be okay. Or they just so desperately want them to tell them that like all of their trauma is we feel you and all of that stuff, right? It's like they're free counseling or whatever. So yeah, when this broke, I immediately thought, well, this needs to be a podcast episode because A, it's like of the moment. And B, like we work in the influencer digital marketing PR space. And I think Dakota and I have both been very open about our thoughts of influencer culture in episodes of this. And this was just sort of the tip of it. This was just sort of the tipping point of like having an episode on this, because I mean, it's Jay Shetty and that's massive. And I think if anything comes of this, I'm hoping two things. Number one is that people don't just get platformed because they're good looking and they have some good taglines. And B, that people actually start looking into who they're following and who they're getting information from. And this will all get into like that media literacy misinformation course I want to start working on, because a lot of this is just a lot of gaslighting to the public. And the public, unfortunately, eats it up. And so we as consumers just have to be smarter. And yeah, we will talk about how that is. So I'll give Dakota a moment to digest Jay Shetty, because
I have so much to say about this. Just like, I'm just like trying to gather my thoughts. But my first question, and I think our listeners would want to know about this too. How did this come to light?
Well, there's a few different things. I think there was some, so from what I can understand, and of course, I am not a journalist, so I'm not going to pretend that I know how this was all. But from what I can gather is that this was sort of known in smaller channels for a long time. Like a lot of like blogs in India and smaller things were sort of questioning a lot of this stuff. And I think I'm looking at a New York Post article right now that was published on the 18th, so just a couple of days ago, that clearly more people knew than what was said, because the headline says that Esquire and Hollywood Reporter declined to publish the expose about celeb loved self-help guru Jay Shetty. So I think what happened, from what I can sort of gather and putting this in together, is that there was finally enough of a group that had enough clout to be able to come out with these sort of rumors that had been circulating for a long time. But based on what I'm seeing now in sort of the mainstream media, is that a lot of the mainstream media probably knew about this a while ago, but refused to publish it because of their connection to Jay Shetty. Like, I'm sure that there's a lot of money they made off Jay Shetty, so they wouldn't. So it says here that The Hollywood Reporter and Esquire refused to publish an explosive article by a freelance journalist. So this is the guy who discovered it. A freelance journalist who discovered the popular self-help podcaster Jay Shetty lied about aspects of his biography. John McDermott, who's the freelance journalist, spent a year researching the story about Shetty, which was eventually published by the British-based outlet The Guardian. So yeah, once it's in The Guardian, it's like...
I don't know anything about The Guardian, but that's fair. Couple of things. Number one, I'm really, really big into the self-help space because it's helped me substantially. But I tend to follow more underground people and more local people. And so the Mel Robbins and the Call Her Daddies and the Jay Shetties of the world are fine and dandy. They're cool for little tidbits here and there. But one thing I will say is I bought into the Jay Shetty thing for about a month. And what turned me off about him so much, and what turns me off about these people in general, and what I'm trying to figure out, because I'm kind of interested in the space as well, which Alyssa knows, is how to like sell yourself in a way that you're not preying on people. And I think that's my biggest problem with these things. Alyssa nailed it in that it's free therapy. It's not accredited therapy.
Nope.
So when you're looking to people to coach you, help you with things like somatic therapy, breath work, indigenous ceremony, if you will, yoga practice, anything like that. Like the first thing you should really be looking for is, are they accredited in this space? Because while I have my own opinions about post-secondary, there are certain things that shouldn't really be accessed unless, you know, there's been a substantial amount of clout backing that person. And I think my problem with Jay Shetty is, yeah, just kind of came out of nowhere, suddenly was interviewing all these celebrities. And there seems to be this funnel of podcasters who just constantly influence the same group of people. Elon Musk, Call Her Daddy, Jay Shetty, sometimes Mel Robbins. Though I do like Mel Robbins. Out of everybody, I would say I do enjoy Mel Robbins, and I do trust that her story is legit. But yeah, you know, the people that I follow, it's actually really interesting. I follow one man in particular who I really look up to, who's helped me substantially. And he's from Vancouver, and his name is Mark Groves. And Mark, actually, Alyssa and I might try and get him on the cast at some point because he's pretty accessible. Mark's pretty famous now, but actually he announced 2 days ago, he's going to delete all of his socials. So like the reason I like Mark is because he doesn't have to sell himself. Like he knows his shit. He's got background in it. And he doesn't try and prey on people. He's one of these lovely individuals that just talks about insights and has experts on that actually have clout. You know, so I think it's just a matter of what Alyssa said. You've got to be really careful with who you buy into. That being said, you know, there are certain people that I follow on Instagram who I just really admire. Like a lot of them are women, young women, such as myself. And, you know, we're both single. They talk a lot about the dating world and just being single and supporting yourself and, you know, the universe, what have you. And they can be really inspirational. But generally speaking, I'm pretty careful about who I get my info from. And one day we'll do a podcast on something that I'm currently, I don't want to call it experiencing. It's been a great experience, but we'll talk about that and then what you should take and leave from certain things as well. But yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all, to be honest.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me either. I mean, I always had a side eye for Jay Shetty. I side eye all of this. I consider it all nonsense because, again, they're preying on people's insecurities and they're preying on people's trauma for their own gain. And I think this is inherently why I have such a passion about educating people on media literacy and what is real and what isn't, because I think if you're in a place of pain or if you're in a place of being lost, like in your work or whatever, these kind of people are easily preyed upon. And so the people like the Jay Shetty's, and remember that guy with the big teeth, Anthony Robbins or whatever his name was, that was big like in the 90s or the early 2000s. And he like turned out to be a huge, like weird, like person that like essays women and stuff. Like these bigger than life personalities sort of appear out of nowhere. And they're either good looking or they have a story or they have something that immediately hooks people. And I think as a general consumer of social media and internet content, people have to be better at researching who these people are, understanding what they really are talking about, not getting led by the bells and whistles and fancy whatever, because it is such an easy space to make money. Like flat out, it is the most unregulated space. It is the most there's zero oversight in any, there's no like regulated body of illness where people have to like be registered and be like, have to be.
And they should be.
Yeah. So it's an easy space to gain access to and like start selling courses and books and whatever, because no one is going to like call you out. I mean, you can become a Jay Shetty in a very short period of time if you have enough hustle or whatever it is that they call it, right?
So whatever.
Why this sort of resonated with me is that I always felt, and I still feel this, because I side-eye all of this stuff, because unless you have the credentials and it's science-based information, I have no time, because it shows me you don't value me. But for the longest time, I have felt that I've been the one screaming into the wind, because everyone in my network, or it doesn't even matter if it's personal, professional network, has gotten like totally wrapped up in these things and like having like Jay Shetty reading parties for his new book or this, or like with Anthony Robbins, it was like doing the Anthony Robbins like speaking tips and things.
Oh, Tony Robbins.
And I was always like, this stuff is bullshit. Can you people not see it? And maybe it's because I grew up in the Catholic Church, which was like the bastion of lies and like underhandedness and like gaslighting people into believing what was happening wasn't happening, that I'm like, no, I can suss out this bullshit super friggin' fast. And
it's very much like organized religion for sure.
It's a cult. Yeah, they're all organized religion, a cult too, but like it's all a cult, right? And so the minute these people fall into this cult and like start worshiping these people like deities, and I would throw Oprah in there too, because Oprah has turned into a weird culty, wellnessy person too. Like, and people like It's not even just like, it's people of well-known ilk, like Oprah. So it's like, I've always just been passionate about, like, can people not see this? Because for the last 10 years, I've always felt that, like, I don't understand how people can't see that this is all bullshit. And now it starts to unraveling. It's like, well, yeah, of course.
Totally.
Like, not to blame anybody who followed it. I'm not victim blaming or anything. But, like, honestly, like, I've just felt like the outsider for so long. And now I'm kind of like, yeah, no, I knew it.
Honestly, I think a healthy way to go about it is like, oh, there's this interesting new, you know, top 1% podcast, or, oh, I've come across something on Instagram, and just feeling it out, right? And like a great example would be, I'm not trying to stand on my high horse here, but, you know, I checked out Jay Shetty for a bit and he didn't resonate with me for exactly all the reasons you're outlining now. And I've personally always had an issue with following the fray, following trends. And that's probably part of the reason I've kind of lost my purpose within my own role recently, is because Instagram and, you know, TikTok in particular are super fun, but I kind of struggle sometimes to place myself in a box that society and social media want me to be in. And I've always struggled. I struggle with the Taylor Swift thing, man.
Oh yeah.
I struggle with these celebrities turning into omnipotent beings. They're worshipped like gods, like Greek gods. It's fucking weird.
It is. You know, and like, let's not even get into the fact that, like, Taylor
Swift is, as an example, I can't fucking stand that shit. No. Calling her queen, like, it's so inappropriate. And like young girls just losing their shit over these artists. Like, yeah. I've never really bought into that. I've kind of always been somebody who moves to the beat of her own drum. And I'm really proud of that fact. And if I ever have children, I really hope I can influence them to do the same. But I do, at the same time, playing devil's advocate here, appreciate and understand the influence of people who are actually trying to help people and do good in the world. And so going back to Taylor Swift, you know, there's a double-edged sword there, because I don't know her. I've never met her. I don't trust her. I don't know her. But at the same time, the things I've seen from her, the very limited amount of information I have about her as a human being, tells me instinctually, you know, she is genuinely trying to influence young women in a really great way. She's there for young women who might feel lost, and young men who might feel lost. Same thing with Lady Gaga, right? Like, she has her whole cult of little monsters, as she calls them. And like Mel Robbins, and Glennon Doyle, you know, like, these are real live women who probably went through some struggles and created a purpose for themselves that now serves the greater good. I think it's making sure that you never get too big for your britches, you know, making sure that you stay humble, and making sure that your service offering, if you do get into that space, is always actually doing what it's supposed to do, which is help people. So for instance, if I were to ever go out and start becoming some sort of a wellness coach, I would do it much differently than everybody else does it, in the sense that I have no desire to be salesy about anything. I'm literally just going to speak, sorry to sound exactly like what you don't want to hear, Alyssa, but I would just be here to speak my truth about what I've gone through, right? I have a conference coming up actually, and I'm going to be talking about burnout. And burnout is something that we all know about, but it's something I've really been affected by. And I'm going to be basing my entire presentation off of burnout and talking about how to not get there. And I'm hoping that that will help people. So I think for something like that, you know, it's not really a self-serving thing. I think we all need to make money. We all need to survive. And if we can do it doing something that we love that helps the greater good, then that's great. But I do agree that there's this air of toxic positivity that has become really poignant, especially probably through COVID more than anything else. And it's getting a little bit out of control. And so I think that's part and parcel with why the government as well is starting to kind of regulate, you know, podcasts, starting to regulate Instagram channels over a certain amount of followers. And the freedom fighters are going nuts with like, well, fuck you. You can't regulate what we say. And that's fine and dandy. But I think social media is a means to an end. And for me, it's, I think you build your community and you get off of it. And hopefully you're not doing it in a way where you're the toxic positivity Manson of the wellness world.
Well, I think the biggest way to avoid that is to not make it your income source. And I think that's where people get lost, is that they see some success, like putting aside Jay Shetty, where you can just talk about smaller ones. They see some success with like following or whatever, and they might get a few brand deals, or like they might get offered to like do this workshop or like retreat or something. And then suddenly they're like, oh, I can make a living at this. So then instead of viewing it as a project for bettering themselves, like you were talking about, Dakota, like using your platform as a way to sort of talk through your own issues, they see it as a moneymaker. And then eventually that spirals out of control, because when your finances depend on this platform, then you are less likely to like heavily review opportunities that come your way. You'll take more things that maybe aren't appropriate, but that it's money for you. And then you're bringing your audience along with that and getting them to buy those things and blah, blah, blah. And then it becomes to a point where you don't really have control over it anymore. So if it can be viewed, I mean, yes, we want to make money on this podcast. I mean, we're not idiots, but at the same time, this will never be our main income source. It just can't. We are not at that. Like, it.
Well, so, that's not what we specialize. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. So, and sorry, can I interject for one sec? I just really don't want to lose this thought. I apologize. Yeah. This is just such an interesting topic. I love it. I think Alyssa, when she first started saying what she was saying just a second ago, I did kind of want to jump in and like almost come to bat for people who do make an income, because not everybody's bad with this. That being said, Alyssa nailed it, in my opinion, when she said, if it's your sole source of income and it's the thing that you're going out and doing and starting in order to make a living, you got to be careful, because like any business, you're going to take what you can get. And that's really irresponsible when it comes to the behest of other people's mental health. So unless you have the educational backing and you go out and invest in that first, if you're basing being a coach off of your own personal experience, it's kind of inappropriate in some ways. A few people have been able to do it well, but I would argue that those people have gone out and gotten educational pieces that give them clout and regulation as to what they do. So, you know, there's even courses now at a lot of accredited universities that can help you become a proper coach and gives you the education required to work with somebody's psychological health. And I do think that there is a massive responsibility to go out there and get that stuff before you ever offer anything to anyone, because this is people's lives, right? And so Alyssa, you totally nailed it. So I don't think there's anything wrong with making money. It's just doing it responsibly. Like, you can't just wake up one morning and say, oh, I'm going to go be a neurosurgeon. Absolutely not. Like, you have to go to school for that shit. You can't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to be a lawyer. And so it should really be the same for this space as well.
And I would argue that this goes beyond the wellness space too, because just because you have an Instagram account with a bunch of followers doesn't mean that you're now a digital media expert and can speak about it. And
oh God.
So this is, I mean, the wellness space is kind of one we've kind of targeted in this episode, but this goes beyond like, and this is sort of just that general influencer mindset where it's like, I have created this, so therefore I can show everybody else how to do it. And it doesn't really work that way, and it shouldn't work that way. And I think I was thinking of this as Dakota was talking, because it made me think of, if you are starting this sort of journey, whether you have a podcast or whether you want to start a course or whether you just like talking to your friends about your journeys or whatever, everything starts at a small space. But whatever you say about yourself at that time is going to get, is going to snowball as the story gets bigger, as you get bigger. And I'm going to use Meghan Markle as an example, because I am not a Meghan Markle fan. People can come at me all they want, but she's a raging narcissist. And it's amazing to me how people don't see it. But anyway, so Meghan Markle has this story that she's told since she was like a little girl about this like Dove ad or something that she like wrote the Dove company about, because she thought it was like sexist or something when she was a child. And now, because we all have video of this now, right? And that isn't actually what happened when she was a child on her little like commercial that they did in her school. But as she's gotten, to be Meghan Markle, that story has ebbed and evolved over the years in whatever benefit that she has needed it to be. Yeah. And I use this as a cautionary tale that whatever personal stories or whatever you utilize as your sort of catch when you're starting out,
your niche or whatever,
it better be friggin' true, because as you grow, like look what's happened to Jay Shetty, like as you grow, those stories will start to ebb and flow, just whatever. And you're going to get called out on it every time, because there's video now, there's recordings now. People will be able to pull what you said 20 years ago and use it and be like, well, wait a minute, you said this then. So why are you using the same story? But now this is what happened in the story, but that back. So it's like, if you want to get into this space, you need to ensure that you are being your authentic self at the beginning, so that if ever you did get big and like blew up in some capacity, there is no way to come back to you on things that you said in the past, because you'd be the same person. So keep that in mind if you do get into the space, or you are seeing that like your Instagram is taking off or your podcast is taking off or whatever. All of this information can be used against you or for you in a positive way.
Yeah.
In 10 years. So
I'm giggling because I'm thinking about our last episode.
Yeah. The Diva Cup story will live on in infamy forever, Dakota. but yeah, so just being aware of the fact that if you are getting into this space, whether it's podcasting, and again, it doesn't have to be a wellness space, it can be whatever your niche of what your interests are, is that you do your homework to begin with, to ensure that you have all the information that you need in order to talk about certain things. Because the minute you stop talking about yourself and referring into other people or into other incidents, you are now considered an authority on that. So you better know what you're talking about, and you better have the credentials to back that up. Like, we normally always talk about ourselves, like our own personal things. So aside from business related things, which we are experts and thought leaders in, we have the credentials to back up our professional capacities. But when we're talking about dating and like Diva Cups, that's us. We are not projecting that on anyone else but ourselves. So it's, you have to be able to walk that line of understanding of where your expertise ends and someone else's can begin, unless you want to become an expert and do the work to get there.
Totally. And sorry for talking over you, Alyssa. I know that we're bad for that. And we literally had this whole conversation, but sometimes we just get fiery. I would say that's when guests and collaboration can really help you. Well, not help you, help your audience, right? I have a rule, and I know Alyssa has this rule too, that within our businesses and within business development and scaling in general, really, you should never be afraid to hire people who are smarter than you or know how to do something. You should never be taking things on. Like if you've just started a comms company and you're not a web developer, don't take on a web development project. Hire someone to help you and take a cut of the cash, because it's a finder's fee. So within this same vein, you know, if you're not an expert in sleep studies or I don't know, the manufacturing of a bra, like whatever, like there are studies and scientists and experts in all of these things. Actually, it was hilarious. I was getting a massage from my buddy, John, yesterday, and we were literally laughing about how there is an actual, and it's actually really cool. I wanted to kind of bring this up to one of our past guests, Chai. There's a study, a book, and other like, and there's like professionals out there that measure women, like they work with women's breasts in very weird, funny ways to make sure that bras are manufactured and engineered properly. And there's studies and experts in everything, and you can't be everything to everybody. Don't even fucking try. Go and get the expert opinions and bring them onto your podcast, pitch them to be on your podcast. What your responsibility is to build that platform for community and to be authentic and to have things coming from a purposeful and authentic place. That's your responsibility.
And don't ever lie about your background, because as we can tell, it will always be found out. Always. So just don't start with that and like saying that you like walked with Sherpas in the Himalayas, because that will be found out.
When really he probably just went and shit into a bag.
Well, he could have spent months at an ashram in India, or he could have been with monks or like studied with monks for a while in India. But why say you were a monk?
Yeah. And that's that to me, like with how much I personally respect that sacredness and like part of the world and just monks in general, like they're very sacred human beings. I actually have a friend whose father was called, like there's a very specific school of thought that goes along with someone who chooses to dedicate their life to becoming a monk. And I don't know why I have more respect for this than I do like priests or people who serve other omnipotent.
It's still all religion.
Yeah, it's still all religion. But I will say that I know for a fact, like very much like indigenous practices, there's a very specific experience that you go through in order to become a monk. In some cases, I guess, put into that position, maybe by your parents from a cultural standpoint. But that being said, it is a very sacred thing. And like, it's just so fucking disrespectful to even go, like, I just can't even put into words how disrespectful.
But again,
what a shit show that must be for him right now.
Well, yeah, indeed. But again, it just gets back to the point of like, when you're starting out and you're in a space, just don't embellish your background, because A, it diminishes what you actually have done. And that is a relevant thing, that you've gotten to the place where you've gotten based on what you've done. So to embellish it, and especially embellishing it in a way that negatively affects others, is like the worst thing. So as sort of a way to end this, I think there's two things we want you to take away from today's episode. Is number one, if you are an influencer or you are in that space, be authentic. You don't have to embellish your background, and your stories are your own. But the minute you are making those stories about other people, then you have to stop and rethink. And on the other end, if you're a consumer of influencer culture, which we all are, and you listen to podcasts and you follow influencers on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, you need to be smart about who you're following, why you're following them, looking into who they are, looking into who they follow on their socials too. That's always a bit of an eye opener, especially with some male wellness people, and you go to their follower list and it's always like a bunch of young, scantily clad girls on their follower list. It's always very eye opening. But yeah, so be smart and like look into things. Like, we are grown-ups. I mean, and we're not talking about children here because that's a whole other issue. But if you are over the age of 25, I'm going to go older and go 25, you are responsible for your actions and your reactions to things happening in your life. And that includes your interactions with influencers and social media. So you need to be smart. And you're not following things just because other people are. You're not falling into the cult of personality like so many people are. I mean, Dakota brought up Taylor Swift. We're not going to get into the fact that she's a billionaire and there are no ethical billionaires. No one can make that argument to me. Swifties can stay off the line because she's not an ethical billionaire. There's no such thing. So stop that conversation. And you can love people's music. You can love people's podcasts. You can love people's Instagram reels or think they're fun people. But that doesn't mean that you are devoted to them. Like, we need to get past this devotion culty culture, because it's toxic on all levels. And I'm not talking just about wellness, because that's the one that gets the most heat all the time. But this goes across all, like, there are super culty, weird digital influencers that always are selling their courses and marketing this. And it's like, no, it's all bullshit, people. It's all bullshit. And so just be smart. So if you are an influencer, be authentic with who you are and your background and what it is that you are talking about. And if you are a consumer, be friggin' smart.
Totally. And I'm going to just leave you guys to it. Like, we're not trying to throw shade to people who follow a specific religion or worship a specific person or being by any stretch. I think anybody who knows us and for anyone who's new to this cast, Alyssa and I we think a different way. So I think it's really, really, really toxic. And furthermore, deleterious to look up to someone or something too much, because at the end of the day, no one's going to save you but you. So you can look to people to guide you and be in community with you, and you can lean into your community, but you have to know that at the end of the day, you're with yourself at your first breath and you're with yourself at your last breath. No one else. So just consider that.
I would just like to point out, because we're not on video, but the lamp that's behind Dakota in her thing, when she said you're on your own and ultimately it's just you, it lit up it got brighter in the back. It's the totally weird.
Don't you know that's because I'm a fucking god?
Well, indeed, you're a spiritual influencer, Dakota, and your lamp felt the words. That actually is really cool. So I had to point that out.
But that's hilarious. I'll have to check that out. Last thing I want to leave everybody with, I do have a girlfriend who I look up to so much and love. And I actually think she does an amazing job of offering her purpose to the world that she has literally gone and done coursework on. And she's helping a lot of people, and she doesn't pretend to be an expert in the shit she's not an expert in, but I would say she is a fabulous example of someone who's trailblazing this the right way. And maybe we'll get her back on the cast at some point to actually talk about this, because I think her perspective could be really interesting.
Love having good people.
And she actually was on the cast previously, so I won't mention who it is yet.
Oh, okay.
But anyway. Anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in today. This was a great ranty episode. So good.
Yeah, I love it when we are able to take things from the current news cycle and rant about them, because we all read this stuff and just shake our head and think, God almighty. Oh, anyway, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode of Ladies Who Launch.
Thank you for listening to Ladies Who Launch. Join Dakota and Alyssa every second Wednesday for more conversations and interesting guests. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. If you send us a question, we may answer it on a future episode.